This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening. Now, when was the last time you enjoyed a breakfast set with kopi, butter kaya toast, and half-boiled eggs at a kopitiam? And what happens if we lose that? So kopitiams are losing ground in KL, and it's because of several factors. The obvious ones being rising rental rates and the growing presence of cafes and Starbucks, all the fault of gentrification. And it's also about changing trends. Kopi making is laborious, and the younger generation and families that run these kopitiams are moving on to other occupations. Tastes are also changing. We're trading kopis for cold brews, lattes, cappuccinos. We demand a different aesthetic from these spaces as well. We want to keep that kopitiam feel, a balance of nostalgia, grittiness, but without the natural off-white and slight dirtiness that comes with kopitiams. So it's a bit of a gloomy future for them. If you have any stories that you'd like to share about kopitiams, you know, are they important to you? Will you miss them if they are gone? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Cam, you know, with this story, I think it might be a bit more generational.
Well, it's generational in demographics, it's movements to suburbs. But to give a little bit of context, so there is apparently, did you know, a Kuala Lumpur Chinese Coffee and Tea Shop Keepers Association.
Huh.
And they say, according to an excellent article in citylab.com, that there are now only three kopitiams, traditional kopitiams, in the heart of KL.
Right.
And if we look at the Chinatown area, Chinatown is now really Chinatown by name only. Everybody who, the people who once lived there, moved out to the suburbs, I would say in the 1970s. Who really lives there now?
Right.
So the kopitiams there don't really have the same just population that they once had. But even in the suburbs where people have moved to, you don't necessarily get a replication, though, of that old kopitiam coming up in the Petaling Jaya's around KL. So it's a sad, I find it's personally sad.
Yeah.
Intrinsic part of the landscape for me. But in the same way that I personally feel the demise of the rest house that no one ever talks about, intrinsic part of my childhood, things change.
Yeah, I think so too. I think with where I'm coming from, it's been a very long time since I've been to a genuine, authentic kopitiam. The last time I went was probably with my grandparents, and maybe I think a while ago it was to bring someone who wasn't from Malaysia around town, and you just happened to stop, bring them to one kopitiam. So it is something that we might eventually see just non-existent in KL.
In KL. You say the last time was with your grandparents, which is what, like when you were like 3 years old or something, is it?
Six.
Right. I mean, I was in one just a few weeks ago in Taiping, where the kopitiam is alive and kicking. You go to the small towns, and sure, the populations in the small towns are a bit older, but the rental prices are cheaper, the populations are still there, the sense of the inheritance, the heritage is still there. The Starbucks have not necessarily moved in, although Malaysian Starbucks is not very good. And the tastes remain the same. So, you know, small towns.
So we have a question here from Chiang, who says that kopitiam with food stalls or without food stalls, because there are still quite a number of the former around, the ones with the food stalls.
Yeah.
What do you think a genuine kopitiam is?
Yeah, I guess we need to make that distinction, don't we? I mean, there's coffee shop, which has the food stalls. We're talking about, I guess, the owner-operator, single owner-operator kopitiam where he, she makes the set meals.
Right.
And I guess that's what we're talking about.
I guess moving forward, it just is maybe, on the other hand, perhaps a sign that we are getting maybe slightly better economically, that, you know, because of economic growth in the country, we do want stuff that can be a bit more on the pricey end. We want the Western restaurants. We want the fancy sushi restaurants. But that might just be a very middle class bias there.
Well, you might also be talking about their young people who have a bit of disposable income, right, enough to be able to spend upward, you know, nearly $10 on a coffee. And it might be that they are actually living at home, so they cannot afford to buy a house, so they have a bit more disposable income than they would otherwise have. So yes, you could say it's a sign of affluence, but it might also be a sign that people are unable to live the lives that their parents lived.
So let's get another perspective, and that's from Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're very welcome.
So talk to us about where kopitiams come from and when they became a common sight over here.
Well, I think that, you know, the point that you made earlier about, are you talking about the kopitiam rarely as the place where, you know, coffee is the mainstay, and then, you know, with some additional food items, the kaya toast, and the chicken chop sort of there as part of that one form, yeah? Or maybe even, you know, whatever it is, that standard, or how people generally see a kopitiam as a coffee shop. You know, which might then have additional stalls, et cetera, et cetera. But you still get the coffee prepared in so-called the traditional way, you know, the ground coffee that is, roasted, but a la the Malaysian style, not a la the dried whatever Starbucks style, so to speak, you know. So that roasting is a different process, and then mixed with the sugar and the condensed milk and that sort of, you know, the merry, very sweetened, thick, sort of almost caramelized value. So I think that very often when people think about kopitiam, it, you know, that you move between one and the other, because the coffee is the... what attracts you?
Yeah,
what attracts people to it? Yeah.
Elizabeth, Cam here.
Hi, Cam.
Hello. I guess we're talking more about the. Am I right in saying the Hainanese kopitiam?
Okay, which does the chicken chop? And, I think that yes. I mean that certainly is the Hainanese cooks, so to speak, were the. things that we remember. I certainly remember from my childhood on the trains, in the rest houses. In the hill stations, as sort of a breed, if you want to say, a group of people who came up and who developed a kind of a cuisine, which is a bit of a hybrid between a Western style. They did the pies and they did the roast together with. Sort of a little bit more of a localized Chinese, bit more hybridish. It isn't what typically you would have, you know, for tea in the UK, right? And I think that those were people who came out of having been trained or worked with, the British civil servants and British planter families, et cetera, et cetera. And they learned that cuisine. And then that was translated into... private individual businesses that you see around. But yes, KL has not very many of those left, but you certainly find them in smaller towns throughout the country. And then you get these very famous brands. If you go to Kemaman, have coffee at this place, X or Y, or you go to Batu Pahat. And each of them kind of have a distinctive almost brand name related to it, Malacca, you know, all the towns throughout the country. And that has a mixed population.
Right.
You know, in the old coffee shops, you get it in Kuala Kubu Baru, you get it, well, you know, throughout really. They still exist in KL. Yeah, not as many. There still are those in the center of the city, but some of them have moved out from their traditional areas to areas adjacent. They have sort of morphed, they have sort of become upgraded in a sense to deal with potentially a larger clientele or a slightly, more affluent clientele who have these nostalgic memories.
So, Elizabeth, if I could ask then,
sure.
So we've established then that these particular shops have a particular coffee brew,
A lot of them have a particular coffee brew, yes.
And the roasting. And if you go to Ipoh, it's different again. Mm-hmm. And in Ipoh, it's the water, mm-hmm. apparently. And I think mm-hmm. it's roasted with margarine.
If you go to Kumaman, if you go to Batwaha, you know. Yeah. I think the beans, it's not just the bean. I think it's the roasting method. Yeah.
So if we lose the coffee shop itself, do we lose these coffees?
I don't think we've lost the coffees. I think a lot of the coffees have, you know, branded themselves and become sort of, you know, are being sold and marketed quite differently in modern terms. You know, you go to Malacca and you see Wa'ik, you know, all over the place, you know, and Haiping coffee, you know, in Kamaman, and you find it. You can buy it elsewhere. You don't only have to go to that one coffee shop. Yeah. But you do go, if you were visiting that place, to that one coffee shop. Because that's sort of part of the Malaysian ritual, yeah, of making sure that we go to the right place.
Yeah, so if then a taste for these particular blends, and indeed, you know, I don't know, chicken chops, say, is well established with the Malaysian palate, then even if we lose the home, the kopitiam, mm-hmm. the traditions,
the shop itself in the shop house.
But the traditions, the cuisines will continue because they're so ingrained, are they not?
I think they will continue to a degree, but I think that because a lot of the cooks have sort of, you know, that's also changed a little bit, you know, people's taste, what you want out of you're getting your vegetarian, your more modern pastas, et cetera, that people are now going for, rather than, you know, your rather large chicken chop, you know, with chips and peas, with lots and lots of gravy. You don't get that as much. What will seems to continue, though, is the steamed bread and kaya, or the toast bread and kaya, that you find everywhere, pretty much. Better or worse, but you find it in normal coffee shops, so to speak, as well, not just the traditional kopitiam that you're talking about. So that has continued. And so, in a sense, there has been a change, but part of these traditions haven't been lost, really. Changed, but not necessarily lost, not in its original form. And if you're talking about, you know, shifting populations, moving out into the suburbs, then, you know, you kind of move with it in a sense. You create you follow your market.
Right. Elizabeth, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia. You can also let us know your thoughts about the kopitiam. Has it actually been in danger of being lost, or has it just taken different forms? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
I have to mention one place, Yut Kee, or also known as Jack's Place, mm-hmm. Off in the heart of KL, queues around the block.
Right.
It's pretty much the last remaining one, and it's third generation now, and really, you can't get in there at lunchtime. Well, actually, it's only a lunchtime place. And it's so things are still alive and kicking.
And if you have any kopitiam recommendations for us, please do also send them our way. You can keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.